We're holding the last words of Kuf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. So we learned as follows. We were discussing the point, what happens if somebody says, he says that I want my nechosim to go to you, Reuven, and then after you, Reuven, die, then I want it to go to, then I want it to go to Shimon. Or actually more before that, actually in the Mishnah, we had talked about how Kosev Nechosev Levana, a person writes out his Nechosim, are going to go to his son, then during as long as the father is alive, the son can't unilaterally sell it, neither can the father. And we talked about, because one owns the Guf, one owns the Peiris, and we talked about what happens if he does. So in particular, we had a Machloikas, Rabbi Yechon, and Rish Lakish on the question, when a person has Kinyan Peiris, is it considered like Kinyan Aguf? Rabbi Yochanan holds that yes. So therefore, in the example of the father and the son, since the father has the peiros, to a certain extent, he also has ownership of the guf. To the extent, in other words, that if the son were to die while if the son were to sell it to somebody else and then die while his father is still alive, we wouldn't say it would go to the one he sold it to. Rather, it would revert to the father, and then it would end up going to the father's other yoshim. Because so again, since the father has kinyan peiros, so therefore it's considered as though he has a certain kinyan aguf as well. So that overrides the fact the other guy bought it from him. And Rish Lakish says that Kinyan Peiros is not the Kinyan Aguf, and therefore that it would end up going, it would end up staying by the people who bought it. And we were discussing that as far as Bikurim. And the last thing was Rabbi Yochanan had said to Rish Lakish, we have a Braisa that says that if a person says Nechose Lechova Acharecha Yirash Ploini, he says, I'm giving my Nechosim to you, Reuven, and after Reuven dies, I want Ploini to get it, and after that I want Shimon to get it, and after that I want Levi to get it. So we said if Shimon dies while Levi is alive, while Reuven is alive, then it goes later on, Reuven himself dies as well. Then it goes to his yoshim. So the question is, why does it go to why does it go to the yoshim of Reuven when it should go to the yoshim, according to you, the shlokish, it should go to the yoshim of the original giver? Because once Reuven dies and Shimon's not available to get it from him anymore, because Shimon has since died, because Shimon is dead as well, then it should go back. If you say Kinyan Peiros is not the Kinyan Aguf, then it should go all the way back to the original nosin, to the original giver. So Rish Lakish had said that it's different, a case of Acharecha is different. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara now asks a question, which who is this question on? Well, first let's learn the question and then we'll see. So the Gemara asks, V'hotanyu yachzru l'yoshe noisim. The question now is, we have a Braisa that in fact says it does go to the Yoshim of the giver. Now, so that would be a question on Rabbi Yochanan then, that you're saying Acharecha Shaini, but nevertheless, even though you can say, as the Gemara had just answered, Acharecha Shaini, it's different in a case of Acharecha. And Rish Lakish used that to answer that case is not a contradiction to me. But Rabbi Yochanan still would have to say that it goes back to the original. Rabbi Yochanan would still have to say that it goes back to the original giver. So now the question is, so we have a braisa that says that if Shimon dies while Reuven is alive, then in fact it does go back to the yoshim of the giver. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it should go to the yoshim of Reuven, because Reuven had kinyan peiros, it should be considered kinyan aguf, and therefore it should go to his yoshim. Rabbi Yochanan had used the previous braisa to ask on Rish Lakish to say, why is it going to yoshe rishon when according to you it should go to yoshe noisen? And Rish Lakish answers, because it's different in the case of acharecha. But now we have a braisa where Rabbi Yochanan would have said, well, there's no question, it goes to Yoshe Rishon, because the Rishon has Peiros and he has Kinyan Aguf, therefore. But now if we have a braisa that says Yachzu L'Yoshe Noisin, then how is Rabbi Yochanan going to understand that braisa? So according to the Rashbam, the question is on, Rabbi Yochanan. Tosfos points out, though, that that's not really a question. We have there's a lot of different Tanoim in various places who discuss whether Kinyan Peiros ka Kinyan Aguf. So why is it a problem? The Gemara is going to end up answering that there was a Machlokas Tanoim about this, but the Gemara didn't even need that. We know there's a Machlokas Tanoim on this from many other places. Tosfos explains that actually the question is on Rish Lakish. The question is as follows. You're saying that a case of Acharecha is a special case. So now, if you say that, if so now, I would say, Rish Lakish, I would say, says Rabbi Yochanan, that to me it doesn't make a difference acharecha or not. Either way, it goes to the Yoshe Rishon, it goes to Reuven's Yoshin because he has Kinyan Peiros, and that's considered like Kinyan Aguf. So either way then, so therefore, and sure, fine, I know there are other Tanoim who hold differently, but at least we could say that the Braisa that says Yachzu L'Yoshi Rishon would be one of the Tanoim who holds, like I do, Kinyan Peres K'Kinyan Aguf. But if you're going to tell me that it's that usually we would say that that it usually you the Shlokish are saying it's not K'kinin Aguf, but Acharecha is different. But we have a Braisa that says you give it to the Yoshe Noisin, and what does that mean? Is that Tana going to hold that Acharecha that Acharecha is meaningless? We never find a machlokas about that. So the Gemara is going to answer now. Here, Tosfos has a slightly different girsa than the Rashbam. The next words of the Gemara, Tanoihi, is the girsa of the Rashbam. The Gemara has asked a question on Rabbi Yochanan, and the answer is it's in fact machlokas tanoim, and therefore a braisa that says acharecha, a braisa that says yachzu the yoshe noisin, is not a contradiction on Rabbi Yochanan, because it'll just mean that it's according to one tana, and Rabbi Yochanan is going according to another tana. Tosfos is going to have the girsa ella tanoihi. Rather, you're going to have to say that it's a machlokas tanoim. The difference of that word ella means that we're saying, therefore, that yes, the earlier braisa is in fact like Rish Lakish, and therefore, so it's not it doesn't contradict Rish Lakish. And as far as what you're saying, what we just said, that there were Amoraim who said acharecha is different, that itself is the subject of a machlokas tanoim. So here Rish Lakish answered acharecha shiny. The Gemara points out you should realize that actually there's machlokas tanoim on that, but nevertheless that doesn't create a problem for Rish Lakish because the previous braisa in fact does go straight according to him. Then on top of that, there's a gilyon, there's a parenthesis in Tosfos, which Marsha brings in, and then afterwards it was printed over here as a parenthetical note in Tosfos. That explains further that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, when it comes to there would be another way of understanding the Gemara more similar to what the Rashbam says is that even they are in fact arguing about the status of acharecha, and even according to Rabbi Yochanan would have to say they're arguing about that rather than that they're arguing about kinyan peiros k'kinyan aguf. So in other words, here the Rashbam is saying that the question was on Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan is going to have to answer. The fact is, there's machloikas on that subject. Now this Gilyon in Tosfos is going to say that no, the machloikas is not really on that. It's really going to be on the status of acharecha. What happens when he says acharecha? To what degree of kinyan does the one whom he gave it to first, Reuven, to what degree of kinyan does he have on those nechasim in terms of what's going to go to Shimon afterwards? In any case, so the Gemara answers Tanoim. So it's a machlokas Tanoim. So again, according to the Rashbam, the point of saying it's a machlokas Tanoim is we're going to have a machlokas about this point of whether Kinyan Peres is Kinyan Aguf. According to Tosfos and according to the Gilyon of Tosfos, rather it's going to be to discuss the question of what's the status of Acharecha when he says, I'm giving to you an Acharecha after the first recipient, after Reuven dies, it should go to Shimon, etc. What degree of Kinyan does Reuven have on it? So Titania, we learn in a braisa, nechose lechova acharecha lepoini, if the giver of the matana says that I'm giving my nechosim to you, Reuven, v'acharecha lepoini, and after you die, I want it to go to Shimon, the yorad rishon u'mocha v'ochal. Now, if during the time when Reuven had the property, if he went into the property, and he sold things, and he went into the nechassim and he sold the nechassim to others. But ochal, and then he consumed the money. So in other words, we're talking about that. So he figures I'm the owner of it right now, as long as I'm alive. So therefore, I have the right to go and sell it to somebody else, and I have the right to do whatever I want with the money. The Rashbam learns that there's no difference actually whether he used up the money or not. It's just typically when a person sells it, then it means he's going to end up using the money for his expenses or for other things like that. So the money is not going to be be'ein anymore. The Tosfos Rid actually learns that there would be a difference. If the money was still there, or if he bought something with it,
If he bought an asset with it, which is still available, then in fact he would have to. Then in, so here we're going to talk about what happens according to the Shimon. So let's learn the Braisa first. Then actually we'll talk about those different understandings. So anyway, so Yorah Dushan Amach of Achal. So the first one goes and sells the property and then consumes the money. Hasheni Motzim Yad Lakuchas Divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe says the second one, namely Shimon, is going to be able to take that back from the buyers, because after Reuven dies and Shimon is supposed to get it, so the buyers are going to say, wait, we bought it from Reuven, but Shimon is going to say, well, tough luck. To begin with, I was told that I'm going to get these nechosim after Reuven dies, and therefore he didn't have the right to sell them. So that would be, in other words, Rebbe would hold Kinyan Peiros Lavka Kinyan Aguf. So that would be more like Rish Lakish. But that would be what we meant when we said it's Macholikas Tanoim. Again, following the Rashbam's understanding that the point of the Gemara bringing this in is to establish that there are different Tanoim who hold different opinions about Kinyan Peiros. So far Rish Lakish would hold like Rebbe. But the Braisa continues, Reb Shimon Gamliel Oyma Ein Lasheni Ela Masha Shiyurishin. Reb Shimon Gamliel holds that no, the second one, Shimon, is only going to be able to have whatever is left by the first one, whatever still exists in Reuven's possession when he died. So if he didn't leave anything, then there's nothing left. So that would be according to Reb Yochanan. So therefore, Reb Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yochanan would be saying the same thing. So before, when we had a Braisa, when the Gemara had brought a Braisa, Yachzur L'Yoshe Noisin, so fine, that opinion would be saying, Kinyan Peiros, Lavka Kinyan Aguf, that opinion would be like Rebbe in this Braisa over here. Meanwhile, Rish Lakish would say, first of all, I have Rebbe's opinion, but second of all, anyway, Acharecha is a special case. That's not necessarily what we say. Not necessarily would we say always Kinyan Peiros. Maybe normally we would say Kinyan Peiros, Kinyan Aguf, like Reb Shimon Gamliel says. But in a case of Acharecha, Rebbe might say differently, and Rish Lakish would say, I also say differently. So, in fact, the Rashbam explains, and in some detail over here, that Rabbi Yochanan would have to understand that that's the point. Rabbi Yochanan would have to understand that the underlying machloikus of Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is about Kinyan Peiros Kinyan Aguf. Rish Lakish would say that no, they both agree that Kinyan Peiros Lav Kinyan Aguf. They both agree with that. The machloikus is that what happens when he tells him Acharecha, when he tells to Reuven, you're going to have it, and after you die, it's going to go to Shimon. Is that Rebbe would hold that in a case of Acharecha also it's only a Kinyan Peiros, and therefore Rebbe would say well, you only have Kinyan Peiros, it's not the Kinyan Aguf, so therefore the Lakochas, or the people who bought it from Reuven, are going to have to give it back because Shimon is supposed to get it because he's supposed to have the Guf. And then it would mean also that then if Shimon had died while Reuven was alive, then it would mean we wouldn't give it to Reuven's Yoshim because Reuven never had the Guf. He only had Kinyan Peiros Lavka Kinyan Aguf. So therefore it goes back to the Yoshim of the original giver. Reb Shimon Gamliel would say that generally Kinyan Peiros Lavka Kinyan Aguf, but in a case of Acharecha is different. There he means to give both the Guf and the Peiros, and therefore Reb Shimon Gamliel would say that therefore the first one has the right to sell whatever he wants because he has the Guf after all. And as far as Yoshim, then it's going to go to the Yoshim of Reuven. And that way, the Rashbam points out that we have to say like that. We have to say that Reb Shimon Gamliel is not just going exclusive. We have to say rather that Rish Lakish is not going exclusively according to Rebbe, because in this is one of those three cases, as we learned yesterday, where the halacha is like Rish Lakish. Well, also the halacha, as the Gemara is going to say soon, is like Reb Shimon Gamliel. So if you're going to say that, if you're going to say that Rish Lakish can be only according to Rebbe, then how would the halacha be able to be according to him? So therefore, we have to understand it that way. Then the Rashbam goes on to point out that also from the continuation of the Gemara, from the various things that it's going to bring further, that the Gemara is going to bring next, Abaya's statement and a case involving Rabbi by Abaya and Amud Beis, all of that shows that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Anyway, so again, all of that is according to the Rashbam, and then according to Tosfos, you have a different understanding of the sugya, that the question to begin with was on Rish Lakish, not on Rabbi Yochanan, and the answer is that and the answer is as the Rashbam is saying that Rish Lakish himself would say the machlokas is not on Kinyan Peiros, Kinyan Aguf, but rather on what's the story with Acharecha? Is he giving him only the Peiros, or is he giving him the Guf as well? So the Gemara says Uraminihi. Now, so far so good. So we have Rebbe saying that. The first one has no right to sell it, and therefore, if he did, then the second one, Shimon, is entitled to take it away from them. And Shimon Gamliel had said that not. So again, according to the Rashbam, Rabbi Yochanan would understand the two opinions to be arguing on Kinyan Peres Kinyan Aguf, and Rish Lakish would say they both agree Kinyan Peres Lav Kinyan Aguf, and the question is, did he give him only the Peres or did he give him the Guf? But now the Gemara says, but I have another contradiction, because another Braisa says, if the guy says, I'm giving my nechostim to you, and so again, before we get to that, actually, when we said, we said where Reuven sold and ate the money, meaning, in other words, that he used it up. So the Rashbam says that doesn't really make a difference. Just generally, when a person sells, then it often means that afterward, the money he's going to end up spending on other things and he doesn't have it available. On the other hand, the Tosfos Reed says that not. If the money is available, or if there's a tangible asset that he bought with it, then there's no question that Shimon would be getting it anyway. The question is, if now he used it up, so now there's nothing left, then we have the Machlokas, where Reb Shimon Gamliel would say that the second one has on that Shimon gets only what Reuven left over. Anyway, so the Gemara says Uramini. The Gemara says I have a contradiction, because another Braisa says, Nechose l'chov acharecha l'ploini. If a person says, I'm giving my nechosim to you, Reuven, and after you die, it's going to Ploini, to Shimon, then Rebbe says the first one, Reuven, can go in there and sell it and consume the food, and consume the money, rather, and use up the money. And Reb Shimon Gamliel says that the first one, Reuven, only has the right to eat peiris from this property. So Kasha de Rebbe ad Rebbe, or de Reb Shimon Gamliel ad Reb Shimon Gamliel. So now we have Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel seem to be contradicting their own statements, because in the previous Braisa, Rebbe was saying that he has no right to sell it, and the Lekuchas can take it away after Reuven dies, Shimon can take it away from the Lekuchas after Reuven dies. Here we're saying in the second Braisa that Rebbe is saying Reuven does have a right to sell it. Reb Shimon Gamliel was saying in the first Braisa that second one, Shimon, is able to get only what Reuven, the first one, left over. And now he's saying that he only has the right to begin with to eat the peiros. So the answer is, a derebi ad derebi loikasha, Rebbe is not contradicting himself, because holigufa holapeira. Because there's a difference between whether he's selling the guf of the property itself or the payers. So when we talk about that, when Rebbe had said in the earlier braisa that Shimon will be able to take away from the lekuchas, means the guf, because the guf the guf was not Reuven's to give away, because Rebbe had held kinyan peiros lav kinyan aguf, either according to Reb Yochanan or Reb Shimon Gamliel, he had held that kinyan peiros lav kinyan aguf. So Reuven had no right to sell the guf in the first place. So therefore, of the actual land itself, for example. So therefore, Shimon can take it away from the buyers. But when we talk about that, when Rebbe is saying that the first one can go and sell and consume the money, means he can sell the peiros. Well, very well. So he owns the peiros. So therefore, he's able to sell the peiros. Now, the fact that he can sell the peiros themselves, the Rimi Gash points out, is not a chiddush. Of course, it was given to him for purposes of peiros. The point is, in other words, that he's able to sell the karka for the peiros. Means, in other words, it's not just that obviously he can pick the peiros every year and he can do whatever he wants with them. They're his, they're a matana. The point is, the Rimi Gash says that it means also he's able to go and tell somebody else, I am selling you the goof of the karka only as far as the peiros, meaning the right that I have on this karka to be able to harvest the peiros from it every year, I'm transferring that right to you. And he has the ability to do that, even though he doesn't have the goof. So that would be Rebbe. So therefore, Rebbe's not contradicting himself. Reb Shimon Gamliel, Ad Reb Shimon Gamliel, like Kasha, as far as Reb Shimon Gamliel, there's also no contradiction in what he's saying, Holachatchila Hodievin. Because Reb Shimon is saying Lachatchila, even though, again, according to Reb Yochanan, Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying that he does own the guf by virtue of owning the peiros, because kinyan peiros kinyan aguf. According to the Shlokish, rather, we would say he says kinyan peiros lav kinyan aguf, but in this case, he was given the guf and the peiros. Nevertheless, Reb Shimon Gamliel would be saying that still Lachatchila, since after all, the original giver planned that eventually it should go to Shimon, then Reuven shouldn't just be going and unilaterally selling the goof. Because you want, after all, that what the Noisin said should end up happening. He did want, after all, he wanted something to be left over for Shimon. So therefore, so it's not right for Reuven to go and sell it. So we're saying that so when Rav Shimon Gamliel says Ein L'Rishon, but he would agree that B'dieved. But if it was done, then it's chal. So therefore, so in the first braisa, when Rav Shimon Gamliel says ein l'rishon ela mashish ein l'sheni ela mashish yerishon, Shimon is going to get only what Reuven left for him. Means, well, b'dieved, if Reuven sold it, then there may be nothing left for Shimon. But then in the second braisa, Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying ein l'rishon ela achilas peres belvad, meaning not that in fact the only thing he's able to do is achilas peres, but that's the only thing he should be doing. He should be eating only the peres and leaving the entire goof intact for Shimon to get after Reuven dies. And in fact, in this connection, Omar Abaya, Ezehu Rosha Orum, what does it mean, a crafty Rosha? Now you have a Mishnah in Sota that mentions such a person as one of a category of people who are Mevale Olam. They damage and destroy the world. So one example it mentions over there is Rosha Orum, a crafty Rosha. So Gemara has several definitions of it over there. And one of them is Zeha Mashi Eitzel Limka B'Nachosim Kidab Shimon Gamliel. That would be somebody who gives advice to Reuven in our scenario to sell the Nechosim and follow the and according to Reb Shimon Gamliel. Now the halacha, in fact, as the Gemara is going to say in the next line, is like Reb Shimon Gamliel. But if you have somebody who advises Reuven, go and sell this property, you may as well, because that way, because according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, you're allowed to, you have the ability to. And then Shimon won't get anything. Nevertheless, so the person who gives him advice to do that is called a Rosha Orum. He's a Rosha because he's trying to undo what the original giver did. The original giver wanted something to go to Shimon, and here he's making it not happen. And he's Orum, he's crafty in the sense like he's not even gaining from it. So the Rashbam learns that, and it's Orum in the sense it is effective. It's not like we say that it's not going to be effective. But it's called Choyte V'loy Loy. In effect, he's doing an Aveira where he's not even gaining anything from it. Now, the Rashbam learns that the seller himself is not actually doing anything wrong in that case. Reuven himself is not necessarily actually doing anything wrong, because the fact is, it's not such a serious issue. He did give him the peiros, and to a certain extent, the guf, that he can do whatever he wants with. So therefore, so he himself wouldn't be a Rosha for doing that, but whoever advises him to is a Rosha, because you're not even gaining from it. That's according to the Rashbam. The Meiri actually learns that even the seller himself, Reuven himself, would be considered a Rosha, because yes, he has the right to do it, but nevertheless, that's not what implicitly he was told not to do that. Implicitly he was told, save it for Shimon, and he's failing to do that, and he's thinking, I can get around that, and therefore the Meiri holds he himself would be called a Rosha or Reuven as well. All right, the Gemara continues. The bottom line is the halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel. So therefore, if Reuven does go and sell, then Shimon is not going to end up getting anything of it. He may be, whoever is involved over here, maybe a Rosha, but nevertheless, it does work. Again, the Rashbam points out, this goes to show that according to Rish Lakish, there must be a way of explaining Reb Shimon Gamliel as holding Kinyan Peres Lavka Kinyan Aguf, because ultimately the halacha is like Rish Lakish. That is the halacha, like Rish Lakish. And if we were to say that Reb Shimon Gamliel holds Kinyan Peres Kinyan Aguf, then we would have a contradiction as far as what the actual halacha is. So Reb Yochanan is entitled to understand Reb Shimon Gamliel to be saying Kinyan Peres Kinyan Aguf, but the halacha is not like that. The halacha is like Rish Lakish's understanding of Reb Shimon Gamliel. The Gemara continues. Umoide. Now Reb Yochanan continues. Reb Shimon Gamliel would agree with the Chachamim, Shem Nostin Matnas Shchivmera, that if to begin with the gift that we're talking about over here, Acharecha, was not a Matnas Bori, but rather a Matnas Shchivmera, when the giver is figures that he's about to die, then Lo Osa Klum, then what he did doesn't count for anything, I misunderstood that. Rather, Moida, when Reb Shimon Gamliel would be Moida, Shem Nostin Matnas Shchivmera, that if Reuven, not the original giver, if Reuven gave it as a matnas shchivmera. So in other words, all this time we've been talking about, if Reuven takes these nechosim and he gives it or sells it to somebody else. So we're saying b'dieved, Reb Shimon Gamliel would say that it is a valid gift or sale, because again, he has the peiros, he has to a certain extent, he has the guf, and therefore he has the right. But Reb Shimon Gamliel would agree, says Reb Yechanan, that if Reuven gave it as a matnas shchivmera, then it wouldn't work. Lo yosa klum, it wouldn't work, and Shimon would end up getting it. Well, my timer, why is that? I'm going to buy a matnas shchimina like kona el achamisa, because a matnas shchimina takes effect only after the shchimina dies, unlike a matnas bodhi, which takes effect right away. Ukvav kod mayacharecha. And you already have that there was the original giver, the one from whom Reuven received it in the first place, had already said, acharecha, after you, Reuven, die, then it should go to Shimon. So therefore, in effect, Shimon gets it the moment that Reuven dies. And meanwhile, it's another moment until the matnas shchimina takes effect. Or rather, it's not even another moment. They both happen at the same instant. But the fact is that there was, the fact is that both of them take effect at the same instant. But meanwhile, you already have both of them take effect, because both of them take effect at the same moment, then therefore the acharecha overrides the other one, and the result is that Shimon is going to get it, because it's one thing, in other words, when he says it's one thing when Reuven gives it away while he's alive, fine, as long as he's alive he has the right to it, but as soon as he dies that right to it goes away, and therefore the acharecha takes effect. The Tosfos Reed actually has a very interesting explanation of it, that generally speaking, when a person dies, it takes a certain period of time. A person's limbs start to stop working, and then eventually you have paralysis or whatever, and over time, like he eventually he dies. So in effect, what you have is when that process of him dying begins, then that's when he loses the right to these nechosim, and then when he ends. Then that would be when he's actually dead. That's when the matnas shchimina would take effect. But then by that time, it's too late, because already he lost ownership of it from when he started dying. That's how the Tosfos Reed learns. But the Rashbam is saying you don't really need that. It's more they do both happen at the same time. But the fact is that the Rashbam just says, actually generically, he says mishosha ina anrishin tzorech lenechosim alalu, from when the first one no longer needs these nechosim. So maybe he would agree with that. That it means, in other words, once he's starting to die, then already he doesn't really need those nechosim anymore. Now what happens is that the acharecha takes precedence over the fact that he wanted to give it as a matnas shchimina. Well, the Gemara asked him, "Mi omer Abaya hochi? Did Abaya really say that? V'ho'itma matnas shchimina me'emas ekona? At what point does a matnas shchimina take effect? Abaya omer im gmar misa? Abaya says when he finishes dying, the moment he dies." Rava says after he finishes dying. So Abaya would say the moment he dies. Rava would say a moment later. So therefore, so according to Abaye, the matnas shchimina and the acharecha are supposed to happen at the same moment. So if it's the same moment, then it should be a matter of suffix. And we should say that we should split it. We would split it between the one that he gave it to as a matnas shchimina and Shimon, because it would be a suffix which one. We have two things that happen in the same instant. According to Rava, we would say that fine, it means that first you have the acharecha took effect and Shimon is supposed to get it. A moment later, because the moment he dies, then acharecha takes effect. A moment later after Gmar Misa would be when his matana, when his matnas shchimina would take effect. And by that time, it's too late. But according to Abaye, that they happen at the same instant, then we should say that in that case it would be a suffix. So the Gemara answers Hodebe Abaye Meahi. In fact, Abaye changed his mind about this machloikus with him and Rava, whether it takes effect at the moment he dies or whether it takes effect a moment later. So therefore, Abaye changed his mind, and therefore, yeah, you do have a moment over there between when the acharecha kicks in, which is the moment he dies, versus when the matnas shchimina should kick in, which would be a moment later. And therefore, there's no room for the matnas shchimina to take effect because the acharecha has already taken effect. Well, the Gemara asked me, "My dimahi hodabe?" Fine, if you have a contradiction in two statements of Abaye, one about that, and one about that if he gives it as a matnas shchimina, then he's kona, so we're saying, what did we say? Abaye had said the reason why if Reuven gives it as a matnas shchimina doesn't work is because by the time it's going to take effect as a matnas shchimina, when he dies, it's too late, because acharecha has already taken effect. We're saying that's contradicted by the fact that he disagrees with Rava and says that the Matnas Chivra takes effect the moment the guy dies. And we're saying he changed his mind on that one where he argues with Rava. How do you know? Maybe he still holds that it takes effect the moment he dies. And he changed his mind on the other thing and said that Reb Shimon Gamliel would in fact allow the Matnas Chivra to go through in this case as well, even when there's Acharecha. So how do we know that Rava changed? How do we know that Abaya changed his mind on the one that he argues with Rava? The answer is Loi Saka Daitach. You can't think that he's arguing on that one. The Tanan, because it would be similar to what we learn in a Mishnah in Gittin. If a person says Zeg Gitech Imati, he says to his wife, "This is my get. This is your get if I die." Zeg Gitech Mecholi Zeh, or he says, "This is your get." So in other words, he's saying, "If I die, then it should be a get." Or he says, "This is your get if I don't recover from this illness." Or he says, "This is your get, and it takes effect after I die." In all those cases, lo yamaklum, then it doesn't work because the get is only going to take effect after he dies, and get la'achamisa. So now the Rashbam points out that the Gemara in Gittin over there points out, we learned the other day about Rabbi Yochanan's, yesterday actually, we learned about Rabbi Yossi's opinion that about Zmanesh of Shtar Mechiach Olav, that when you have a date in a Shtar, then that demonstrates you wanted the Shtar to take effect as of that date. So therefore, according to him, those wouldn't be an issue because the date on the get will show when he wanted it to take effect. And that would be before he died. But according to the Chachamim, who disagree with, according to Rabbi Yehuda in particular, who disagrees with Rabbi Yossi, would say that you can't look at the date of the shtar. The fact is, he said that it should take effect la'achamisa, or whichever of these little shoynas he used, and get la'achamisa. So the result is, so in other words, the same way as when he says zegitach imati, we assume that it means only after he dies. He doesn't mean the moment he dies or a moment before he dies. He means after. And therefore, it can't take effect because in get lachamisa. By the same token, a matnas shivra, when he's saying it takes, by definition, a matnas shivra takes effect when he dies, then it means it actually takes effect a moment after he dies. And in that case, since we have acharecha involved over here, then it's too late because at the point when the acharecha already takes effect the actual moment he dies, because acharecha means after you, meaning as soon as you're gone, and therefore his matnas chivra, which is going to take effect right after that, has no room to be chal. So therefore, it has to be on the basis of that Abaya would have to agree with that, since it's based on a Mishnah in Gittin, and therefore he can't be arguing with Rava anymore. Therefore, we have to say he changed his mind on that. And therefore, the result is Abaya is now being consistent. So therefore, Reb Shimon Gamliel would say that in the case where the original giver said acharecha, and then Reuven meanwhile went and gave it as a matnas chivra, it wouldn't work. And therefore, we would say that the acharecha takes precedence because the matnas chivra of Reuven is going to take effect only a moment later, so it's going to end up going to Shimon. Okay. The Gemara continues. So before we said Rabbi Yochanan had said the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So now the Gemara continues that Abzeira says in Rabbi Yochanan's name that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Not only that, that the second one gets only whatever the first one left over. So if the first one went and sold the property, if Reuven went and sold the property, b'di'evid, then Shimon can't get anything from it. But Rabbi Zeira is adding the detail. That would apply even if the nechasim that Reuven had received as a gift, even if they included avodim knanim, which he went and freed, even so, we would still, when Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying that that the second one gets only whatever the first one left, it includes even that case. Isn't that obvious? Why would we think that's any different than anything else? And the answer is Mao de Tema Omale. You might think that maybe Shimon can say, "Lemevet isura lo yavin in loch." Look, you weren't given it in order to do an isur, because after all, to free an eved knani, unless there's a valid reason, is being over on a mitzvah saseh. The Torah says, "La'olam behem ta'avoidu." You should work. You should have an eved knani work for you forever, unless there's a good and valid reason, which we learned a couple of them in Gittin a while back. Then he's not supposed to free the Eved Kanani. One example we had over there is that Rabbi Eliezer freed his Eved Kanani to make a minion. We talked about over there, you have a case involving a Shifcha Kananis where people are being Mazana with her, etc. So you have a few cases where you could, but ordinarily you're not supposed to. So therefore, so Shimon can argue, wait a minute, when the guy gave you the nechassim, sure, you have the right to sell them and to do whatever you want, even though it was supposed to eventually go to me. Fine, I understand. You have a certain kinyan of it, but to the extent where he would allow you to do an issue with it, not necessarily. So therefore, maybe that sale of that freeing of the eved shouldn't take effect, and I should be entitled to that nechassim. Ramash Malan, therefore, Reb Zeira is telling us that doesn't make a difference. The fact is that the fact is that he has every right on it, and therefore that means he even has the right to be over. Not he shouldn't be over on it. Isser Esed, but if he did, it still is able to take effect. Similarly, the Gemara says, "Amar of Yosef, Amar of Yechon, Halacha Reb Shimon Gamliel, Va'afilu Asan Tachrichin Lames." Also, Reb Shimon Gamliel's opinion would apply even if Reuven went and used what he was given to make tachrichim for a dead person. So, let's say part of the nechassim included cloth, and he took some of that cloth and made it into tachrichim. We would also say that therefore that it's gone, and Shimon doesn't have any right to it. So again, the question is tachrichim also bahana. Again, the question is pshita, isn't that obvious? And the answer is similar. The Mao de Tema, the Shavinu Isure Hana lo Yaviloch. Shimon might argue that look, you weren't given it in order to make it also bahana. For that matter, even the original Noisin could say, I didn't give it to you intending that you're going to make it also bahana. So therefore, because after all, I would prefer my nechassim to be able to be used by people. I don't want my nechassim to be wasted unnecessarily. Kamash Malan, therefore, nevertheless, we're still saying that the fact is he didn't give it to him if he had explicitly said, obviously, if he's explicitly said, I'm giving it to you, but not for you to be over on Isur Eser, or not for you to make it also bahana, fine, whatever conditions he wants are valid, kol tnai shel mamon kayim. But if he didn't say, then implicitly it means the guy has even the right to do these kinds of things. A related topic, now that we've established that the halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel in all cases, so now let's talk about a related topic in this matter of acharecha, where a person says, I'm giving you Reuven a matana, and afterwards I want it to go, after you die, I want it to go to Shimon, so now let's talk about it in terms of the dinim of the esrog, of the dalad minim. Dorash Reb Nachman bar Rav Chisda, if a person says esrog zeh nosan l'chob matana, if a person says to Reuven, I'm giving you this esrog as a present, meaning not just for Sukkos, you can keep it for as long as you want, va'acharecha l'ploini, and after you die, I want it to go to Ploini to Shimon. And that would mean now there's nobody else in the chain after that. So at that point, Shimon would be able to be not only yotze with this esrog, he would even be able to eat it, because if there was a Levi involved that he said acharav l'ploini, then yeah, Shimon wouldn't be able to either. But he's not supposed to l'chatchila at least. But now Shimon can do with it whatever he wants. So the result is, says Reb Nachman bar Rav Chisda, not l'rishin v'yotze boy. If the first one, if Reuven were to take that esrog and use it for the mitzvah of dalad minim, bonumach l'machlokas udebi v'rav. Then the result that we have to, whether he's Yotze or not, is going to depend on the machlokas of Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel. Because we know the esrog has to be yours, it has to be lochem. So according to Rebbe, we would say all he has in it is kinyan peiris. He doesn't have kinyan aguf. He's not able to sell it to somebody else. Again, Rebbe had said before that if he sells it to somebody else, then it's not a valid sale. So therefore, Rebbe would say it can't be considered lochem. Again, that understanding of Rebbe would be according to both Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. We said before they both agreed that Rebbe says kinyan peiris lav kinyan aguf. So therefore, according to Rebbe, Reuven would not be able to be yotze with that esrog because all he has is kinyan peiris. As opposed to according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, at least according to according to either explanation, actually, of Reb Shimon Gamliel, according to Reb Yochanan's explanation of him, according to the Rashbam's understanding of Reb Yochanan's explanation of him, that is, Reb Yochanan would say Reb Shimon Gamliel holds kinyan peiris kikinyan aguf, and therefore he not only owns the peiris, he owns the guf as well, and b'dieved he's able to sell it. Rish Lakish would say kinyan peiris lav kinyan aguf, but he would say when he gave it to Reuven, he gave it him guf and peiris. Well, very well, Reb Shimon Gamliel would hold that he has the guf as well, and he's able to sell it, and therefore the result would be that he'd be able to be yotze with it. But the Gemara says, Maskef lo Reb Nachman Yitzchak. But Reb Nachman Yitzchak says, how could you say that?
Ad kan like pligi Rebbe Reb Shimon Gamliel Hossam. You know why Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel are arguing before when Reuven sells the Nechasim, whether he's able to and whether Shimon is able to take them back from the buyers, is Ella de Mar Sava Kinin Paris Kikinin Aguf Dummy or Mar Sava Kinin Paris Lav Kikinin Aguf Dummy. So you have this machloikas of what we say when he has Kinin Paris, is it considered that he has Kinin Aguf as well? So again, Reb Shimon Gamliel would say that he has Kinyan Peiris, and in this particular case, it's considered like Kinyan Aguf because it's a case of Acharecha, and Rebbe would hold it's still not the Kinyan Aguf. So therefore, by an Estrog, but when it comes to the Peiris itself, Ela Hocha, but here Reb Nachman Meitzchel points out, you have to ask, what other Peiris could there possibly be? If he's not able to be Yotze, the mitzvah with it, then what do you give it to him for? Mele, you're talking about, for example, a field. You can be talking about whether he's able, at least, even if he doesn't own the goof, even if he only has Peiris, fine, there are Peiris available from it, namely, that he can that he's able to collect Peiris from it and eat them. But when it comes to an Estrog, what else can we do with it? The estrog itself is not going to produce more Paris. The goof itself he can't eat. So necessarily he must have given it to him to fulfill the mitzvah. So how could you say that according to Rebbe he wouldn't be yoy to the mitzvah with it? What else? It has to be that he gave it to him to the extent that he can fulfill the mitzvah with it. So rather, Reb Nachman Meitzchel says no. When it comes to being yoy to the mitzvah of estrog, everybody is going to agree, Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel will both agree that he is Yotze with that Esther. Mochra oy ochla, or Bach says it should be Loshen Zachar, because Esther is Loshen Zachar. Mochroy oy ochloy, whatever, if he sold it or if he ate it, that would be Bonal Machloikas, Rebbe, Reb Shimon Gamliel. Then you have the Machloikas of Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel. So Rebbe would hold that if he ate it or if he sold it, Rebbe would hold. If he sold it, as we said before, then Shimon would be entitled to take it back from the buyer because it wasn't a valid sale. And if Reuven ate it, then Rebbe would hold that he would have to pay Shimon the value of it. According to Reb Shimon, Ein Lasheni, Elamasha Shiorishin, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, the second one, Shimon, gets only whatever Reuven left over. And therefore, since to begin with, Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel would hold that to be, he again, given that, as Reb Nachman Meitzchel had pointed out, the only thing he gave it for is to be Yotze the Mitzvah. So fine, to be Yotze the Mitzvah, that he can do, but anything else, so L'Hatchila, that's all he should do. But if he sold it, then B'diyevet, it's sold. If he sold it, B'diyevet, it's sold. So therefore, according to him, he wouldn't have to pay back, he wouldn't have to pay Shimon for it if he ate it, and if he sold it, then it is a valid sale. The Rashbam also adds that now the reason we have to say this then in that case is you would think that otherwise maybe Rebbe would hold that again, since an estrog itself doesn't produce Paris, maybe Rebbe would agree that he gave it to him even to the extent that he can sell it. No, we're saying according to Rebbe, he gave it to him strictly for the purpose of doing the mitzvah of Dalad Minim with it. So Machroi Ochla, if he sold it or if he ate it, then Bonal Machloikas, Rebbe, Reb Shimon Gamliel, then that would depend on the Machloikas, Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel. But if he was just to be Yotze with it, says Reb Nachman Meitzchel, everybody would agree that he could be Yotze with it. Okay. Talking more about this din about Estrog, about the fact that the Estrog has to belong to you. Omer Rava Bar Avuna, ha'achen shekonu Estrog b'tfusas habayis. Suppose that brothers inherited from their father and they haven't yet split up the estate. They're still keeping the estate jointly for all of them. So if they used money from the undivided estate to go and buy an Estrog, so it depends. Not le echad mehen b'yotzavoy. If now one of the brothers goes and takes the estrog to do the mitzvah of dalad minim, to be yotze with it, so it depends. Is he yotze? Im yochol oichloy, if he's able to eat it, if he would be able to eat it without the brothers objecting, yotze, then he's yotze. Because it means, in other words, that since they're not machbid one another, so you could say, for example, the Rashbam says, let's say there are other asrogim available for them to eat, so they don't mind that he took one. Or you could say, for example, that it's easy for them to buy asrogim, or they were already yotze the mitzvah and they don't need it. Whatever the case, the point is, if for whatever reason they're not makbid, and he's able to eat it without their rishus. Yotze, then he's yotze v'im lav, and if not, if for whatever reason they would object to that lo yotze, then he's not yotze because it's not his. You could say it's partially his because they own it jointly for with tfusas habayis. So the Rashbam says the fact that it says lochem implies that it has to be all yours. If it had said, for example, you could take pre eitz hadurchem, then it would mean that you could have an esrog that's owned in partnership. But now that it says that lochachtem lochem, the lochem is plural, of course, but still it means for each one of you individually. The reason it says it doesn't say lochachta locha, the reason why it doesn't say outright singular, the Rashbam brings from the Gemara and Sukkah, the reason is because it tells you that it's an individual mitzvah that you have to have each person individually. So if it said v'lakachta l'cha, then we would if it said v'lakachta l'cha, then it would mean that it says lachachtem lochem. Now, on the one hand, lochem means that it has to belong individually to you. The reason why it doesn't say the lachachta locha, why doesn't it explicitly say it in the singular? And that would make it clear that it means that it has to actually belong to you individually. So the reason is because otherwise, for example, you would think it actually has to you have to actually own, you know, so you do have to own it. But for example, you wouldn't know that you wouldn't know, for example, that you're able to give it to somebody else. You would think that you actually have to board it with your own money or something. So if it only said lachachta locha, then you wouldn't know. So by saying lochem means, in other words, that you're able to receive it as a gift from somebody else. But nonetheless, the point is that it does have to belong to you on the grounds that it says lochem. So the point is, therefore, so now again, if he owns it individually, then fine. But if he doesn't own it individually, then it wouldn't work. So the Gemara continues, the davka de'ika estrog l'chochad b'chad. Now that works only if there's an individual estrog available for each one, or as the Rashbam had said, if there's enough money where each of them could go and buy an estrog. But not, for example, if all there was, as far as fruit, was a porish, which is a small apple, a rimon or a pomegranate, then no, then he's not yotze, because then they're makbid. Nobody, they don't want anybody to eat it, because what do you mean? This is the only estrog we have, so therefore he doesn't have the right to eat it. And again, as we just established, if he can't eat it, then it's not really considered his. Now the Rashbam actually calls this line. He says Arichus Pirush Shol Shoytimu. This is a foolish explanation. It's not part of the Gemara, because what's the difference? It's not a matter of whether there's a Porish or Riman. It's just a matter of whether they're makbid on one another. Tosfos says B'doichak. You could say that. Look, what it means is if there is available another estrog, then we would say he's not makbid if he's going to eat this estrog. But if he only has a Porish or a Rimon, then he's going to mind because he can't use it, because he can't use a Porish or a Rimon for the Dalet Minim. Still, Tosfos agrees that it's a bit of a doichak. The Marshal goes further. He says that actually you can well keep this line in the Gemara. It's not a Pirush of Shoytim. What it means is, let's say, for example, he's the eldest of the brothers. So normally they're going to have derech eretz for him. They're not going to mind if he eats it. But here, where it's the only estrog, and the fact is there's only available a porish or a rimon, which they can't use for the dalad minim. So even in that case, even if they don't say so, nevertheless, we can assume they would be makbid, and therefore he's not going to be yotze. Okay. Omar Rava. So Rava says further on this din about an estrog and about the fact that you have to own it. If one person says to the other, I'm giving you this estrog as a present on condition that you return it to me, not levi yotza boy, so he takes it and he's yotza the mitzvah with it, hechziro yotza, if he returns it, then he's yotza, because then he's fulfilled the condition, and therefore it comes out that he fulfilled the condition, and therefore the matana was a matana. Lo yechziro, lo yotza, but if he doesn't return it, then he won't have been yotza. If, for example, he sold it or ate it or whatever, then retroactively it turns out it wasn't a matana. Now, the question is that the Rashbam and all the other Rishonim bring up is that for Tanai to be valid, you have a number of things that it had, among other things, you have Rav Meir holds, and the halacha is like Rav Meir, that you need Tanai Kofel. You need the the t'nai to be repeated. You need to clearly say, if you do this, then this is going to happen. And if you don't do, and if you don't do this, then this is not going to happen. We learn that from B'nai Gad or B'nai Reuven, where Moshe tells them, if you cross the Yarden, then you will receive this portion in Eivra Yarden. And if you don't cross the Yarden, if you don't help cross and help the Jewish people fight for Eretz Canaan, then they're going to end up getting a portion in Eretz Yisrael proper. So we learn from that there has to be t'nai kofel. Now here he's not saying if you return it to me it'll be a matana, and if you don't return it to me it won't be a matana. So the Rashbam learns that that applies only to gittin the kedushin, and therefore this is not gittin the kedushin. So therefore, so it doesn't matter. On the other hand, Tosfos says that first of all, Tosfos points out another issue as well. There's another issue with the t'nai and the ma'isa over here. It has to be that the t'nai and the ma'isa, it has to be that the t'nai and the thing that's going to happen as a result of it are two different things. And here it's the same thing because it's both within the esrog itself. So Tosfos brings up that point and says that maybe that anyway it's not like Shnai B'nai Gad or B'nai Reuven, but Tosfos says that maybe Rava holds you don't need that particular detail, Tosfos goes on to explain that maybe in fact here we're going according to the Chachamim and only in other Gemaras are we going according to the Meir. Other Rishonim say, first of all, this that the Rashbam is saying that this applies only to Gittin v'Kiddushin. The Rambam brings such an opinion, but he rejects it. He says, look, T'nai B'nai Gad B'nai Reuven wasn't involving Gittin v'Kiddushin and still needed to be doubled. So you see, therefore, that it's not applicable only to Gittin v'Kiddushin. A different other Rishonim point out, discuss that after the Rambam and discuss how we might reconcile according to them. Anyway, but the other Rishonim to say over here that the Tosfos themselves actually says elsewhere that listen, you know, the Gemara is not going in all here. We're not dealing after all with the dinim of Tnoyim. We're basically dealing with the dinim of Estrog and of Acharecha and all that. So therefore, the Gemara is not going into the detail that he's mentioning in the second half of the Tnai. But yes, we would have to be according to the opinions that this concept applies outside of Gittin the Kedushin as well. Then yeah, it would mean that he had to say the whole Tanai, and the Gemara just didn't bother bringing the whole Lashon. So you have several. So in short, you have several different opinions about whether a Tanai Kofel, whether the double Tanai is needed over here. According to the Rashbam, no, because not Gittin the Kedushin. According to Tosfos elsewhere, yes, but the Gemara just didn't bother mentioning it. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, Kamash Malon, Rava wants to inform us with this, to Matana, Manas Lahachzir, Shema Matana, that to give something as a present on condition that he returns it is a valid Matana. We talked about the other day the Matnas Beis Chorin. We had the case over there where a person gave all of the food and everything from his chasen, from his son's chasen, a suda, as a gift to somebody else because he wanted that then his father, who was Mudur Hana from him, will be able to eat by the chasenah. And the friend says, in that case, I want to be makdish it. And the guy says, I didn't give it to you to be makdish. And we said there that it's not a valid matana. The difference is there it was. He made it very clear that the matana was for the purpose of doing an end run around the neder, and therefore it's not going to work unless the guy is able to be makdish it. But here you're not doing it in order to get around any neder or something. You're doing it just because it has to be lachem. So therefore, as long as he has it as a matana, it is valid. He would be able now, for example, he has the ability to give it as a matana. Somebody else. You have the Gemara in Sukkah that mentions, for example, that one time during Sukkot, Rabbi Gamliel and several of the other Chachamim were on board ship, and they only had with them the one lulav and esrog that belonged to Rabbi Gamliel. So he gave it as a matana to Rabbi Yeshua, who in turn gave it to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who in turn gave it to Rabbi Akiva, and then Rabbi Akiva returned it to him. So that's the difference. A matana amanas lahachzir, you're able to give it to somebody else in between. You're able to do a lot of things with it in between, just as long as eventually it gets back to the noisin. So therefore, that works. So the Gemara tells in this connection, going back to the matter of Acharecha, and then we're going to talk more about this, more about these matters of Matana. So the Gemara tells, Ahi itza dehavala dikla ba'ara de Rabibi Barabaya. There was a woman who owned a palm tree in the middle of land that belonged to the Bibi Barabaya. Earlier in the Masechta, we talked about where a person sells a tree to somebody else in his field. We talked about whether automatically he's selling him a right of way with it or not. So here, for whatever reason, this woman didn't have a right of way through the Bibi's field. Call Amos to have us Uzla the Migzere. So whenever she went to go and collect to go and cut down and collect the dates from it, have a coffee de lava. Then Rabbi Bibi Barabai would be upset at her because you're trampling my field. So she finally decided it's too much of a hassle every time that a bibi is causing me trouble with it. So she gave it to him as a matana, which will be in effect as long as your bibi is alive. And then after that, it'll be a case of acharecha. It'll be you have it for as long as you're alive. After you're gone, after 120, then it'll go back to me or to my yoshin. She's saying, well, ozal ihu akni and yale livnoi cotton. Rabibi in turn went and was makna the tree to his young son, meaning Reb Shimon Gamliel had said before that that the first one that is able to do that. In this case, Rabibi is standing in the place of Reuven in the scenario before, so he's able now to give it to his son, who would be the Shimon. Now, Rashbam says, wait a minute, didn't we say before that Reb Shimon Gamliel says l'chatchila that kind of thing is also, so how could Rabibi Barabaya do that? So that's when he says, acharecha l'ploini, because you want that the ploini should end up with something. But here, you want, after all, that it should come back. You want that Shimon should be able to get something. But here, after all, she just told him that I'm giving it to you for your whole life. She didn't say that afterwards implicitly it was going to return to herself. So all it is, in other words, that she's doing it in order that this way Rabibi won't bother her about it anymore. So therefore, that would mean he has the ability to give it to whoever he wants. So he would have the ability to give it to his son. That's not being over on what Reb Shimon had said before, l'chatchila, he shouldn't do that, because in this case, she's not saying that I want it to go to Shimon, somebody else. She's saying that I want it to go back to, that I want it to go back to me. So therefore, so it's fine for him to go and give it to somebody else instead, and it doesn't end up going back to her. Why did he do his young son? Rashbam says because he wanted to make sure this way she can't buy it from him, because a cotton doesn't have the ability to be makna. So this way she wouldn't be able to go and buy it back from him, and then we're going to have the same problem all over again. Rashbam says actually maybe the word should not be bnoi cotton. It should just be bnoi, and what we mean is a son of his who was still eating, who was still supported by Rabibi. Sometimes the Gemara calls such a thing cotton, but here the word cotton may have just been. Often they have the word bnoi, and sometimes the Gemara mentions cotton. So here, when copyists were copying out the Gemara, maybe they added in the word cotton by mistake, says the Rashbam. Anyway, he brings from Rabbeinu Chananel, who says that way as well. Anyway, so that was what Rabibi tried to do. Omer of Huna Brei de Rishua, but of Huna Brei de Rishua says to Rabibi, you're doing wrong. Mishum de osu mimuda sisu, really it's supposed to be muloi, because you come from muloi, amritu mili muliyasa. Therefore, you say things that are cut off. Muloi can be a name of a place, but in several places where it uses this expression in the Gemara, it explains, and the Rashbam explains over here, that it means that the Rabibi Barabaya is descended from Bnei Eli, is descended from Chofni or Pinchas, the children of Eli. We know that they had acted wrongly in matters of the Mishkan and other things, and Hashem sent a very severe nevuah against them. One of them, one part of the nevuah being that everybody in all the men in their family are going to die young, unless, as the Gemara mentions in Rosh Hashanah and in Yevamos, unless they're Oisik Batoto of Gmilas Chasadim. Abaya, the Gemara says, was from that family, and Rabibi Barabaya is his son, so he's also from that family. So Rav Huna Brei de Rishua is telling him, you come from a family over there, from a damaged family, from a cut off family, and therefore you speak things that are cut off, things that have no mamoshes to them. The Rashbam brings, first of all, why we call it mimuloi. So the word muloi itself means cut off, but also he brings from a medrash that says that there was an actual place called Mamla where apparently a lot of these descendants of Avi lived. So in Reb Meir's time. So now Rabibi Barabaya is a couple hundred years after that, but nevertheless, like your ancestors come from this place called Mamla, where many of the descendants of Eli lived. And the Rashbam also mentions the word mulya can also mean something that has, it can also mean like a clod of dirt. So therefore it would mean like it would mean something that's a balmum. So, and the Rashbam points out, by the way, the reason why he used the word mulyosa, whether it means cut off or balmum or whatever, it's like a play on words. Because his ancestors come from a place called Mamla, therefore he uses this expression. You often find such things even in Psukim, where you'll have a nevuah about a certain place, and they'll use, and then the Navi will use a word, will use a verb that relates to the name of that place. Anyway, so he's saying, in other words, in short, he's saying to the Bibi, you don't know what you're talking about. Afilu Reb Shimon Gamliel loy ka'omar, Ella la'acher. You know, when Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying that b'dieved, if Reuven sold the property, then it's a valid sale and Shimon can't get it from him, is where, to begin with, the noisin had given it, had said that it's going to go after you to somebody else, to Shimon. But not when it's meant to go back to him himself. This woman eventually intended to get back the tree for herself or for her children after you're gone. So therefore, no, even Rav Shimon Gamliel would not hold that you have the ability to give it to somebody else. It's one thing, in other words, where he's giving him, he's taking away himself completely, and he's saying, I'm giving you the goof and the payrus, and eventually I want you to give the goof to somebody else, then fine. But here, where she is herself intended to get back the goof eventually, then it's not going to work to give it to your son. Okay. Getting back now to Matan Amanas Lahachzir, the Gemara says, Omer Rava Omer Rav Nachman, Shur Zen Nosen Lachav Matana. If Reuven says, to Shimon, I'm giving you this ox as a present, on condition you return it to me. What would happen if Shimon was makdish the ox and then he returned it to Reuven? The hektish is valid because it was his to give as a matana, but it's also considered a valid return because it's considered a valid return. Reuven can't use it anymore because it's hektish. Nevertheless, that still works. The Rashbam points out actually that really this piece of the Gemara ought to be before the story of Rabbi Barabaya, because we mentioned Matana Amanas Lahachzir. The Gemara should be finishing off with the matter of Matana Amanas Lahachzir before we get back to this matter of before we get to that matter of Acharecha. Anyway, so Rava is saying that it would be valid, and it was a valid hekdesh, and it was a valid return. In other words, the fact that he returned it, even though now Reuven can't use it anymore, it's still considered that he returned it. Therefore, the condition was fulfilled, and therefore, it turns out the matana was a valid matana. The Rashbam also points out, by the way, if the ox were to die during that time, since it's a matana, amanas lahachzir, he would also be potter from paying because he's not a shoymer of any kind. He's a makabel matana, so he's only chayev for pshia, and he wasn't pshia, died on its own. Anyway, he returned it after he was machdash it, then it would be fine. Omalei Rava l'Rav Nachman. But now Rava said this in the name of Rav Nachman, but he asks Rav Nachman, how does that work? Maya Hadre, how could you say he returned it to him? It doesn't belong to him anymore. It belongs to Hektish. Omalei, so Rav Nachman answers back. So what's the problem? My Chasre. So what has he made him lose? How did he make him lose? Now it's not worth anything anymore. It's not worth it. It belongs to Hektish. The Tosfos HaRosh actually takes out those words. The Tosfos HaRosh actually takes out those words. Ella Omer Ravashi. So Ravashi says no. It's not so simple to say that if he was makdish it and returned it, that it would be a valid return. We have to see Chazinan. We have to see what he actually said. What he actually said when he gave it to him as a gift. If he said on condition that you return it without the word li, well, then he returned it. The fact is, it is the same shur. It's not worth anything anymore, or it's not worth anything to him unless he redeems it from Hektish. Nevertheless, in other words, it would be similar to the way that we have as far as a gazlan. We learned in Baba Kama. For example, a person steals chametz before Pesach, and then he returns it after Pesach. He can say, Arei shalocha fanecha, here's your chametz back. Before it was worth money, and now it's not because chametz shor avar l'Pesach. Doesn't matter. It's still the same physical chametz. The same way, it's still the same physical shur. Meanwhile, Rava would disagree. He says the Rashba and the Ritva, because Rava would hold by Gzela is one thing. It says Veheshivas Gzela, and at least he returned it. But here, where he said, I want you to return it, then it means it has to be properly returned. But Rav Ashi is saying it depends. If he didn't say Shetach Zirehu Li, then fine, he returned it. But if he said, I want you to return it to me, then that means the word li means midi de chozi le ka'omalei. It has to be something which is usable by him. And it's not usable because it's hektish, and therefore it would mean that he wasn't makayim the tnai. And therefore, since he wasn't makayim the tnai, then the matana never took effect in the first place. And the result is it wouldn't be mukdish at all because it didn't belong to him to be makdish in the first place. So it depends on what law. So again, if he had said, amanas shetach zirehu, then when Reuven receives the matana, he can be makdish it, and then he can return it, and that's still considered fulfilling the tnai, because all he's telling is, I'm an asher tachlireu, as long as you return this physical ox, and he didn't. But if so, therefore, so the hektish takes effect, and now when he returns it, the result is that now the original giver has in his yard, he has an animal that belongs to hektish. What he's going to do with it afterwards, either he's going to actually give it to hektish, or he's going to buy it back from hektish, as the case may be. Meanwhile, though, if Reuven to begin with had said, I'm an asher tachzireihu li, and Shimon went and was makdish it, then we would say that he didn't have the right to be makdish it, because Reuven was saying, I'm an asher tachzireihu li, meaning it has to be usable by me afterwards, and it's not. So therefore, Shimon never had any ownership of it in the first place. Therefore, he can't be makdish it. And therefore, he can't. And therefore, so to begin with, the matana never took effect, and therefore, the hektish never took effect either. Okay. So that's that. So those were various dinim of matana, and then we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with talking about other various dinim involving matana.